Good morning, everybody. Hopefully you're enjoying this beautiful Sunday morning as much as I am. I've just loved these last week and a half or so when we're getting a lot of sunny days. I myself, this winter, for some particular reason, just needing a little bit more of that sunlight soaking in to my system. So I'm very, very grateful. So Aaron, Pastor Aaron, is a part of our One Hope leadership team. Most of you, some of you might be aware of that or not. We have a couple leadership teams. We've got a board, and then we've got a catalyst team. Catalyst team serves as catalytic people to help join the body of Christ together. One Hope, our mission statement, is joining together to show Jesus love. And so what we do is we look to join Jesus-following pastors. I just want to emphasize the Jesus-following part, because in this day, there are a lot of pastors, even pastoring churches with traditional names that aren't necessarily Christ-honoring and Christ-following. But One Hope is a ministry that joins together pastors and leaders and congregations and ministries, the people who are following Christ, join together to show the love of Christ. And we have three simple but not easy objectives. That we're going to together seek the Lord, we're going to together serve our community, we're going to together share the good news. So we're going to seek through worship and prayer. We're going to serve through partnerships. And we're going to share the good news as we pray and as we serve. So how do we join together? We join together in seeking and serving and in sharing the good news. So Pastor Aaron has just been a huge blessing. So thank you for sowing him and sharing him into One Hope. The things that you guys have been doing with partnerships with Bertha Holt and Feed Hope, Generosity Feeds. I've just been keeping up on that. It's just really, really sweet. I just love the way that this congregation has engaged the neighborhood, the community. You guys are champs in my book. So keep up the great work. You have a wonderful pastor. I'm sure you already know that, but I just want to give him props from my perspective. I know he and Jen and it's Charlie and Elizabeth, right, are away in Bend this week, and we mentioned them in prayer, but I would just like to specifically pray for them this week, just for a blessing and times of refreshing. So will you join me as we pray together specifically for their week? So Lord, we lift up to you Aaron and Jen and Charlie and Elizabeth, and Father, we're asking that in this week that times of refreshing would come upon them, that Aaron would be able to hike and be healthy. Father, we pray that there would be good conversations and lots of laughter. We pray that the kids would have fun and be safe. Lord, we're asking that you would pour your spirit into their hearts, that you would strengthen them, that this would be an investment, Lord, that you truly refresh their lives. So God, we thank you for Aaron and Jen. We bless them, strengthen them, and give them a great week together and bring them home safe. We agree for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, my hope today is to hopefully bring some more encouragement to your heart. We're going to go to the scriptures, and that always encourages my heart. But want to tie the Word of God to what's happening today. That's what pastors always want to do, right? We want to bring what's essential and written here somehow and get it inside our hearts so that it comes out our lives, so that we are knowing Christ, we're growing in His image, and we're making Him known as we do those things. So one of the things that have been really encouraging the last few years as pastors and congregations have joined together is just to see the love and friendship of pastors develop. Jesus says in John 13:34, He gives a new command. Did you realize that in the New Testament, there's a new command? There's only one of them. In the entire New Testament, Jesus only brought one new command. All right? Okay, I'm not joking. There's one new command. Does anyone want to guess what that new command is? I see that hand. You're getting really close. You're getting really close. All right? Okay, one another. You got half of it. You guys are just, you're really harmonizing, But Jesus makes something really specific. He says, a new command I give you. Oh, bingo, right there. Helped you out, okay? Jesus says, a new command I give you. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another. So one of the questions that we often ask with one hope, see, because we want to do this. We want to do the scriptures, right? So if Jesus gave one new command, which by the way, that's pretty challenging. Like, how did Jesus love me? Like, to the utmost, right? I mean, he lived for me, he suffered for me, died for me. That's how much Jesus loved me. So that is a supernatural agape love that God must provide for us, right? So this new command is now only doable because Jesus did it first. But Jesus says, as I have loved you, so you must. This is not an option. So you must, not an option, love one another. So that means every congregation. That means Bible-believing, Jesus-following people are supposed to love one another with the same love that Jesus gave us. That's a challenge to me. But one of the things that we've seen over the last few years is pastors and leaders beginning not only to be friends, but to love one another. To love one another. To love one another. Now, when we, as the body of Christ, love each other, and as, let's say, leaders of churches love each other, do you think that should be done? Do you think pastors who live in the same community should love each other? You think Jesus wants that to happen? Are you sure? You think, like, pastors who live in the same community, like, you know, in Eugene or Springfield, in this community, you think they should love one another? You think that's an option? Yeah, they're commanded to. So when we see pastors partnering together, praying for each other on a regular basis, sharing resource, encouraging one another, that love is being demonstrated toward one another. And by the way, that sets a backdrop, an essential backdrop for people to come to faith in Christ. By this, all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another. So really, even though I share those other objectives with one hope, if we can get God's people to love each other the way Jesus loves us, starting with the leaders, but including all the believers, we're going to have such a winsome community that the community of agape love wins people to Jesus. And so that's what we're, among other things, endeavoring to do. And I hope you're encouraged with us. See, 15 years ago, this wasn't happening in this community. 15 years ago, this wasn't happening as strongly in this nation. There is a move of God around the world and in the nation today where God is joining together his church in local geographic areas. Now, here's the $10 definition. Some of you have heard me say this $10 definition before, okay? God is restoring the geographical integrity of the local church. God is restoring the geographical integrity of the local church. What does that mean? When Paul wrote the book of Romans, all right, he wrote to all the believers in Rome. When he wrote the book of Philippians, right, he wrote to all the believers in Philippi. Historians say that in Philippi, the church started at Lydia's house. Encounter with Lydia is recorded in the book of Acts. Lydia lived in Philippi. Paul ended up going to the river, meeting Lydia. She and her whole household believe. She persuaded them to go and stay at her house. They believe that the first church was started at Lydia's house. But when Paul's writing to the Philippians, he's writing to all the believers in Philippi, not just the believers meeting at Lydia's house. Okay? Jesus, likewise, when you look at the book of Revelation, when he's talking to the churches and exhorting them and rebuking the churches, to the church of Philadelphia, to the church of Thyatira. Primarily, the word ecclesia, or church, is referred to as the group of believers who live in a geographical area. It's not the only time that the word church is used. There's the church of the Gentiles and the church universal and so forth, the church that meets at Priscilla and Aquila's, okay? But primarily, when the word church is used in the New Testament, It's referring to the believers in a city or in a community. Okay, Galatia was a region. Okay, so that also qualifies. So God is restoring the geographical integrity of the local church. Is that good news or is that bad news? Does that make a difference or not? It does make a difference because here's what's happening. The body of Christ is becoming one, and that is the will of God. Jesus wants us to love each other. We've made that perfectly clear. Jesus also prays in John 17. He prays two times the same way. Okay? He prays that we, his followers, would be one as the Father and Son are one, so that the world would believe. He prays that we would be brought to complete unity so the world would know. So when we're one, the world believes. When we're brought to complete unity, then the world knows. When we love each other, all men know we're his disciples. You see, it's essential that we follow the scripture. A, because it pleases God. B, because we get the blessing of actually doing it. And C, the world knows, believes, and sees that the Lord is living and active, that he is who he is. And so it's incumbent upon us to move with God. So I started sharing with you that this is happening all over the world. It's happening in Africa. It's happening in New York City. It's happening in Nashville. It's happening in Corvallis. It's happening in Santa Rosa, California. It's happening all over the United States. Story after story after story. Things like Project Hope that you guys have participated in. Things like pastors getting together and praying for each other and loving each other. These things are taking place with greater frequency all over the United States of America. In Boise, Idaho. I'm going to tell you a little story. In Boise, Idaho. Body of Christ been praying together, working together. Business guys, pastors. They got a strong businessmen's group that connects with the pastors. And they're believing God for their community together. Right? Because we all want people. Whether you go to First Baptist Church or North Park or Twin Rivers Baptist Church in Springfield, we want to see people come to know and follow Jesus. Right? So these guys in Boise, they're getting really creative. They're praying. They're partnering together. They decide that they want to do a living parable of forgiveness. They want to do a living... They just get inspired one day. So these business guys raise thousands and thousands of dollars. And like under 50, like between 40 and 50 churches join together. They take offerings. Businessmen start raising a whole bunch of money, and here's what they do. They put on the radio and on TV and in the newspaper, if you come to City Hall on such and such a day, the pastors of their community are going to pay your parking tickets. They're going to pay your parking tickets. It made national news. There were hundreds and hundreds of people. There was even some people who came from other states. And at City Hall, there were tables, table after table after table. Pastors had the same shirt, embroidery, Church of the Valley, Church of the Treasure Valley. That's what it said on it, okay? And they had checkbooks, and they were just instructed to write checks. Now, some people complained because that money could have been used a whole bunch of different ways, for missions, to feed the poor. But it was a creative way to show what forgiveness is. Jesus completely paid our debt, and it drew people into the church. But it was the churches working together. Now, that's a creative way, okay? That's a unique way of communicating the love of Christ. But they all did it together. You know, then the last few years here in our community, we've done Project Hope together. Just working at the schools, giving away school supplies the next day. You know, we've had 42 churches working in almost 40 schools every year, and that happens. And I think you guys have heard this story, but it bears repeating. And this surprised us. We didn't know this was going to happen. But literally, from Churchill High School in the west to Camp Creek in the east, down there, Cesar Chavez, to North Eugene Junction City, we had crying principals and crying staff people. With comments like, we all feel so cared for. Well, that was prayer-empowered service. And it wasn't just North Park Community Church or Willamette Christian Center going and doing that. No, it was 42 congregations going and doing that. And the superintendents know that. And we can't get enough believers into schools to help the schools now. This wasn't like this 5 years ago. The wall is completely down. They want Christians inside the public schools serving. They want us. We can't get enough of them in. Anyway, so I could tell story after story after story. God's restoring the geographical integrity of the local church. The body of Christ is becoming one. You're a part of that. Your pastor's a part of that. Be encouraged. God is on the move. I could tell you story after story, but we want to get to the scripture this morning. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Colossians and the fourth chapter. Hopefully when you came in, you received a bookmark and a wristband. We're going to refer to that here in a little bit. This got our scripture portion we're going to look at today, Colossians 4, 2 through 6 on it. And we're going to read from Colossians here, and then I'm going to tell you the relevance behind praying this scripture. So let's go ahead and pick it up. Colossians 4, verses 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. God, I'm asking that as we look at your word this morning, that it would come alive in our hearts and then through our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. At the end of several epistles, Paul ends his letters with some simple, straightforward instructions. And here in Colossians, he's doing the same thing. He's giving us some straightforward, simple instructions to follow. Number one, he's exhorting us to be devoted to prayer, to be earnest, to be steadfast, to be committed to this means of grace that God has given us to pray. That it's not just a casual thing that we do from time to time, but we're actually devoted to it. We're steadfast and earnest in this place of prayer. The Amplified Bible says, be earnest and unwearied and steadfast in your prayer life, being both alert and intent in your praying with thanksgiving. And we're reminded as believers to always be thankful, to be thankful in a place of prayer. You know, UC Davis did a study about people who are thankful and found that people who are regularly thankful, giving thanks often, are people who have less stress and have more joy in their lives. There's been other studies done at Harvard and then across the country that giving of thanks actually lifts your mood. It helps renew your life. You appreciate the good things that you have. It's a focus of gratitude. It's embracing the good things that have happened in your life. And that's what thanksgiving does for us. So that when we pray, we're praying with thanksgiving. While we're asking God for something, we're remembering what he's done. We're joyful and thankful and appreciative of God providing, answering our prayers. We're being thankful while we're believing, asking him to do more. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And let us remember to be watchful. The exhortation, Old Testament, New Testament, when we pray, is to be alert. In Ephesians 6, it says, and be alert, and always keep on praying for all the saints. So this alertness to pray at any time, and alert during your prayer that the Holy Spirit might nudge you to be praying for Pastor Aaron while he's on a break, or praying for a friend or a family member. Be alert in our prayers. And it goes on to say, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Now, before we look at this verse and make application, I want to tell you why we are talking about Colossians 4, 2 through 6 today. Pastor Aaron and myself and 52 other pastors and leaders were at Cannon Beach for 3 days in January. One of the things One Hope does is we facilitate a pastors and leaders prayer summit. So we had 54 pastors and leaders just from our community. We get together and we literally worship and pray for 3 days. Now it's facilitated. We have a leader and a team. Sometimes we're praying for one another. Sometimes we're singing for half an hour. Sometimes we say, okay, we're going to get in Philippians 2 for an hour. Everyone be quiet. So it's not like we're all just sitting in a circle doing this for 3 days. It moves very fast. It's just a highlight of the year for many pastors. Well, we've done this for many years together. I've been a part of these prayer summits, goodness, for the last 13 years. And our leader who facilitates our time, he comes from out of town. His name's Tom White, a very respected man. He leads prayer summits all over the world. And Tom said, Steve, he said, you know, we've never done this with your group before. Let's inquire of the Lord together. So we bounced that off our team. Inquire of the Lord, you say? So, like, what do you mean? Like, I know what inquire of the Lord in the Bible means. You know, David inquired of the Lord. You know, that's kind of an Old Testament term. What is it? What do you mean we're going to inquire of the Lord? He's like, yeah, I've done this in other communities where we just, after a time of worship, we ask the Lord to speak to us. And primarily through the scripture, the Holy Spirit would highlight a scripture, or he might give a verse, he might give, but we're going to like take 20 minutes and be quiet and ask 54 different pastors from 54 different planets, so to speak, maybe denominational planets, if you will, cultural Christian planet. They're in different places. Okay, we're gonna inquire the Lord. I'm like, okay, let's try it. So our leadership team said, okay. So we worshiped the Lord, had a sweet time of worship. We've already been there over a day. Good connections have already been made, and we take 20 minutes and we're quiet. People have their Bibles and they're writing things down, and then we have an open time of sharing. Hey, if you felt like the Lord tugged on your heart, gave you a verse, or you just had a thought that you feel like is relevant, we're asking God to speak to us primarily through His Word, but, you know, just let's share. Okay, here we go. Here we go, everybody. How's it going to go with these 54 different folks? Anyway, so one brother shares a scripture, one brother has this exhortation. One brother shares a dream he had 15 years ago, and God's rekindling that dream about reaching our community. And this brother shares a scripture. Oh, that brother shared the same scripture that brother shared. And this brother got a scripture, and that sister got the same scripture. And this thought went exactly with that scripture that this guy got. Anyway, so we just processed this for a season of time. We chronicled everything. And then we just went to prayer. The primary purpose of us listening together is that we wanted to hear from God so that we could pray back what we were hearing. Okay, we weren't going to make this big, we weren't planning on, you know, starting one church with 54 of us or anything like that. You know, we were inquiring of the Lord so that we would hear, so that we would pray back what we heard. And so we kind of distilled it down to kind of 5 different sections, and we had people pray in different ways, and we had a good time of prayer. Our leadership team stayed an extra day this year. Pastor Aaron was among the leadership team. We stayed and we took everything that we chronicled back to the Lord. God, what are you saying? We inquired. We asked you to speak to us so that we could pray it back. And Lord, what did you want to say to our community? Well, there were several things. Again, several verses, things that were shared. But primarily, it really was distilled down to 2 major components. The first major component was pray for the gospel. Pray for the message of the gospel. It's a no-duh, right? We knew that before we went to the prayer summit. Okay? But that's really what was highlighted. Pray for the message of the gospel. The second thing that was highlighted was, drum roll please, encourage everyone to share the gospel. Rocket science, right? Okay? But those 2 things were really highlighted. And they were highlighted as 54 leaders were in the room together. And the best and clearest synopsis of praying for the message of the gospel and sharing our faith, sharing the gospel, comes in Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Colossians 4, 2 through 6 was the very first scripture that was shared. Minutes later, another brother had shared that he had received the same scripture. And again, I won't go into the whole story of who shared what, but this portion of scripture clearly delineates praying for the message and sharing the message. So our leadership team, after processing this, came back and said, I believe God wants us to do something. Many pastors are saying, okay, now we listened, now we prayed, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So we had that time to just percolate on this message, bring it back to the Lord. And so we submitted it to the brothers and said, we believe that we're to enter into a three-week focus of prayer with Colossians 4, 2 through 6 as our marching orders in prayer. That we would pray Colossians 4, 2 through 6. We would pray from Colossians 4, 2 through 6. We would allow these verses to inspire us to pray for the clarity of the gospel message, for the gospel message, and these verses would exhort us to be sharing our faith. And so pastors have embraced this. So now I don't have a full count right now because we are still having more and more pastors and churches come on. But my guess is right now there's at least 30 congregations that are going to be praying from March 30th to April 20th leading up to Easter. We're praying 3 weeks leading up to Easter. Now, what pastor or what Jesus-following person doesn't want to pray for the gospel message for 3 weeks leading up to Easter? Not only for Pastor Aaron and the gospel to be clear here through North Park Community Church, but for the gospel message to be clear all throughout our community. Now, with that perspective now in place, I want to read these verses again. Colossians 4, 2 through 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So the first three verses have to do with prayer and praying for the message. Let's pick it up in verse 3. And pray for us too that God may open a door for our message. During this 3 weeks, it's going to be essential that we as believers pray for open doors for the message. Ask God for open doors. Open doors. That God would create an open door over our community. That God would create open doors with your neighbors. That God would create open doors with your family members and your coworkers. Pray for open doors for the message of the gospel. Pray for an open door to be given to North Park Community Church. Pray for open doors. Pray the scripture. Pray for an open door for a message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Verse 4, pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Pray for the clarity of the gospel, that whoever speaks it, whether it's you at the grocery store, you on the street, you with a family member, pray that you would proclaim the message of Jesus clearly. Pray for Pastor Aaron that he would proclaim the message of the gospel clearly. But please don't only pray for Pastor Aaron, because we all are called to share the good news. So pray for Pastor Aaron. Pray for yourself. Pray for people in this community to proclaim clearly the gospel. Now, when we pray the scripture gives us a focus and a strength from which to pray, that we're using that as a launching into prayer, okay? So now we're praying for an open door, so we can pray for open hearts, we can pray for open doors. We can pray to proclaim the message clearly, that whoever speaks it, whether it's me, whether it's you, whether it's a pastor, whoever speaks it clearly. But we also can pray for people's hearts to hear it clearly. Okay? We can take the speaking clearly and also pray for the receiver to hear it clearly. Because we know that the scripture says that the God of this age blinds the mind of unbelievers. So they cannot see, so they cannot hear. So we want to pray for people to have eyes to see and ears to hear so that they can hear. So that we're not only speaking it clearly, but people are receiving it clearly as well. So we want to be praying from the scripture. So we're devoted to prayer. We're praying for open doors for the message. We're praying for the clear message to be spoken. We're praying for hearts to receive it clearly. And then we have two verses exhorting us to actually be salt and light. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. King James will say, redeeming the time, or make the most of every opportunity. Take back the time. Redeem the time for God. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. So again, this congregation has been very strategic and wonderful at being wise and strategic in loving your neighbors, in connecting with this neighborhood, connecting with Bertha Holt, helping with Generosity Feeds and Feed Hope. You have made the most of those opportunities, but there's opportunities that God wants to give us every day. We don't have to wait for the opportunities where Pastor Aaron or the church organizes everything. We want those things to happen. We want Project Hope to happen. We want to redeem that time too and be strategic. But every day there's time to be redeemed. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. There's opportunities. Just be wise with it. God's going to give you wisdom. Be salt. Then it goes on to say, let your conversation be always full of grace. Just have grace-filled words, not judgmental words. I'm reminded every day of my need for Jesus, that mercy and grace came after me. I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. So let that same grace that you received, let that affect your words as you share your faith, as you share your story, as you share the good news. But let it be full of grace, seasoned with salt, the salt of truth, the salt of the gospel, the salt of Jesus Christ. Make sure that message comes out so that you may know how to answer everyone. Is the last phrase there. And I want to encourage you about that. So that you may know how to answer everyone. I bet, I don't want you to raise your hands, but I bet if I asked you to raise your hands and you were to say, if I asked everybody, how many of you feel like you could answer everyone about your faith in Christ? Probably not too many hands would go up. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. How do we know how to answer everyone? That seems like a monumental task. How do we answer this PhD at the University of Oregon who's got a different perspective than us? Do you feel confident to give him an answer? Well, maybe you don't. But when your conversation is always full of grace, seasoned with salt, you give the answer that you have. Your answer is Jesus. And just like in Sunday school, Jesus, God, and the Bible and prayer probably are always going to work, right? But when you talk about what Jesus has done and what Jesus has done in your life, you've got an answer. It might not be the answer to that specific question, but you have got an answer that's grace-filled and salt-filled. Go ahead. Salt, okay, Jesus calls us the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So it's the truth. It's the truth of God's word. It's the truth of who Jesus is and what he's accomplished. So if we're just always giving grace without the truth, okay, we are giving only half the message. If we're always just extending grace with never the truth that Jesus calls us to change our mind, direction, and believe and follow him without that truth of the message that Jesus took all of the world's sins on himself so that we could be freed from sins. He rose from the dead so that we could have a new life. If we're not salting our conversation with the salt of truth and only giving grace, we're giving an incomplete message. Okay? So we want to be salty in our conversations. So here we have a three-week challenge, if you will, a three-week focus to be praying for the gospel message and to be looking for opportunities to share our faith, to be wise in the way that we act toward outsiders. You know, when we're doing Project Hope and working on the school buildings and building relationships with the schools and we're giving away backpacks, we are redeeming time. We're making the most of that opportunity to show what the servant of all looks like when he's serving others, okay? But again, every day, God's going to give us opportunities. He wants to give us opportunities. And I want you to be encouraged, too, that you are entering into this time with believers all across this community. You know, not every congregation is going to wear wristbands. You know, your thing might be keep that bookmark in your Bible and you're going to refer to it. And some of the younger people aren't always going to use a bookmark. They're going to like to have the wristbands. Some of you are going to like to do both, have a bookmark and a wristband. And we've provided these bookmarks and wristbands just as tools to use. There's 10,000 of those bookmarks and thousands of the wristbands that are going across the community. And just would encourage you to take some initiative in these 30 days. You know, there might be someone who wants to do a prayer group once a week in the 30 days, or put Colossians 4, 2 through 6 on your prayer chain, or have one specific meeting. Just call a meeting for worship and prayer. Hey, as we go into this Easter season, let's pray Colossians 2 through 6 and just use those five verses as an outline for prayer. On the bookmark, on the back side of the bookmark, there's a place there just to list three names. Again, that's just, it's just an idea. It's just a tool if there's three people that you want to specifically focus on to come to faith in Christ. It's another way just to keep those wonderful people in front of us so that we can believe God for them to come into the kingdom. So I want to encourage you here. I want to just share with you this quote. How many people here have heard of Jim Cimbala before? He's a pastor in New York City, Brooklyn Tabernacle. Yeah, his church has produced a lot of music. He's written several books, authored books on prayer. And one of his quotes on prayer is this: probably the greatest need today in America is for small groups and churches to begin a new kind of ministry in prayer. No matter how much things change, this never changes. God only uses people who are equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And those people who are used in that way are men and women of prayer. So we just encourage you as we look at these 3 weeks, it's only 3 weeks of time, and just know that your heart and your prayers are joining together with thousands of other believers in our community, that God would open a door for the gospel, that the message of the gospel would be proclaimed clearly, and that we would be salt and light to our community that we get to live in this season of time. Aren't you glad that you get to live in this community? I'm really glad. I've lived here for just about 20 years, and I've seen changes in this community. I've seen people come to faith in Christ, and there's a lot of things that I've been praying for and believing for that haven't happened yet. And I'm still contending. I'm still believing for many, many more people to turn from darkness to light. We are believing for the church to be more and more active in the community in endeavors like Project Hope, the Thanksgiving meals, things like that. So we live in a beautiful place. We live in a very strategic time. And I want you to be encouraged. Let me pray, and then I've got one more thing to share. Father in heaven, I'm asking that you would stir in all of our hearts, God, that you would stir in all of our hearts, that we would be moved to pray and believe you to do what you desire in our lives. Father, we would believe you to do what you desire in this community. Father, that we would believe you to accomplish what you want, even through this congregation. So, Lord, I'm asking that your Spirit would fill hearts and stir hearts, and that you would lead us to next steps. That you would lead us to next steps, God. That we would follow you, that we would see you answer these prayers. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I do just want to end by sharing just one more verse of Scripture. And I think it's so wonderful of the Lord to give so many promises in His Word. But I just want you, as we close on this message, to be refreshed again on praying in Jesus' name. Listen to the words of our Savior. Jesus says, I will do, this is John 14:13, I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything, and I will do it. Pretty clear. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Then Jesus almost repeats himself in John 16, and he says this, I tell you the truth, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. It's just that simple. Jesus wants us to ask in His name. When He answers, God gets the glory and we get the joy. What a great exchange. He invites us in to pray. He wants us to partner with Him. He wants us to pray in Jesus' name. We do. He answers the prayer and gets the glory, and we get the joy. What a good God we serve. May you be blessed. May your congregation be blessed. And may you have a great, great Easter season. Amen.